the condensed form of this, but I'm telling you what this passage shares to us. I hope and pray. Is that thunder? That's awesome. That's fun. And the thunder rolls and the lightning strikes, right? Psalm 84. I want for us to, I hope, Lord willing, take the heart of what the psalmist is sharing in this passage. We need it. We need to take the heart of what is being said here about worship and being in the presence of the Lord. I pray that we will take it to heart. I want to just read this passage, or this psalm, and then just going to hit the highlights of this. But I hope we take this away, a personal challenge to us. In Psalm 84, it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in the house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, and as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion, before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." There are some really important things for us to glean from the heart of the psalmist here. And the psalmist is unidentified. We do not know who the psalmist is in this particular psalm. But we hear the psalmist's heart of what their focus is, about what they are longing for, what they are desiring in their life. And I think there needs to be, in my own life, and I think the life of the church, there needs to be a renewal in our hearts of a passion to be connected with him. And where is it that he is found? He is found within the presence of every believer, the body of Christ. And so that's the quick overview of when we look at what does this mean for us today. It means that when we look at what they're longing for, in this case of wanting to be at the temple, what's there? What was there at the tabernacle? What was it that he was longing for? It was the presence of the Lord. He wanted to be in the presence of the Lord, and it's interesting, we see here in this passage, he says, of course, this yearning, this longing to be in the presence of the Lord, to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord and to be there with him, right? But he says in verse 3, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar." You can just envision the psalmist as he's sitting there and he's looking at the temple, and here he finds these nests of a sparrow and a swallow, and even they, and we say, so what? Well, a sparrow meant nothing, right? The sparrow, remember the sparrow, which the two sparrows that were bought for a penny, right? And we see that they're worthless in the sense that they had no value. And yet to see how the psalmist is looking at, they are so blessed. Here God has made a place for them, right? Or they've had the privilege, they get to be by the altar, by the presence of God. And the swallow was, and we witnessed this, and you think of this, what was the significance of the swallow just flying, darting here to there. If you ever are interested, go and look under the bridge just out of town here, and there are probably thousands of swallow nests there. But you watch swallows, and they just wear you out. You watch them, it's like, man, they're just darting all over the place, and they just wear you out. But the significance of bringing out a swallow, finding its place in the presence of the Lord, there is even rest for the swallow. There was a place for the insignificant, the sparrow, which had little value, little worth, and yet it had a place that the Lord had allowed for them. And the psalmist is looking at them and saying, wow, how blessed they are to be able to experience the presence of the Lord. And he just, as you can see, his longing for wanting to be where the Lord is, wanting to have his presence in his life. And you go on to see, in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. As he stops and he's observing those who are working there day in and day out, working in the temple, working in the presence of the Lord, and they have their work, and he is so in awe of the blessing that they have of being able to praise the God whom has saved them and redeemed them and has given them a hope and a future. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. So what is this talking about? What is the point with this? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Those who wanted to go and to be in the presence of the Lord, they didn't live near Zion. They didn't live near Bethlehem, but they wanted to go, or Jerusalem, but they wanted to go. They wanted to go, and the psalmist is recognizing the longing of people, of the Jewish people. It was centered all around the temple, wasn't it? About the tabernacle is where, that was where the symbolism of the presence of God, this is where God is. We know, God's word clearly tells us, and never teaches us in the Old Testament that God's presence was only in the tabernacle. God's presence is everywhere. He's everywhere present, right? But what was represented there is that is where you will find the presence of the Lord. You can go and have a communion there, that you can be near him. It was this picture of this is where the Lord dwells. He's personal. He's real. He's a God that cares for you. He's not just out there. And how wonderful that truth is. And as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. What is the point of that? What is the plains of Baca? Well, it's speaking of the balsa tree is a tree that's in very arid climate. So this is a dry place where the people had to, if they were going to go on this journey to go to the temple, to go and be in the presence of the Lord, they had to go through this dry, arid desert. They had to go through this place where there was not great comfort there. But listen to what it says here in this passage about as they pass through it. They make it a place. Who makes it? They, the people that are on their journey, they're on this pilgrimage to go and to be with the Lord, and they make this dry and desert place. They make it a place of springs. They find strength. They find passion. They find encouragement. They find joy in the desert because they're going to be with the Lord. How awesome is that? To look at this picture of what the Lord is wanting to teach us in Psalm 84 about how we should have a passion for being in the presence of the Lord and to be able to worship together, to be able to honor Him, glorify Him. Yes, we can do worship each and every day. We should be doing worship each and every day in all that we do, in our work. Our work is an act of worship to Him. It should be, as a follower of Christ, it should be an act of worship to Him. But He says this need, this desire, this longing to be together. And my friends, we have to take, when we go from the Old Testament and when we see where was the presence of the Lord, what was it that God used as this thing? It was the temple. That's where they went. They went so that they could be in His presence and they would worship the Lord and they would shout to the Lord and praise Him together at the temple. And I have to believe the Lord is longing for us as followers of Christ to have a renewed passion for worshiping Him as the body of Christ. My friends, the old world is going to hell in the handbasket. It is. When you look at what is going on around us, it's in devastating times. But guess what? We have hope. We are to be a light. We are to be this place of passion, of we serve a mighty God, and we will not let anything get in the way of us praising Him and worshiping Him and desiring to be in the presence of the Lord. And where is the presence of the Lord today? Well, He still is everywhere present. But what is so awesome today is that as we know and we read in the New Testament in John, and we see how in John he skips the whole birth of Christ, right? He goes, we don't see that that he goes there. He goes right on into, we see those things in the other Gospels, but he immediately starts to talk about who Jesus is, right? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? Starts talking about this is who Jesus is. And because of the salvation that comes to us through His birth and through His death, burial, and resurrection, we come to John and we see that He gives us clarity. This is what life is all about. This is who I am, and this is who you should be praising, worshiping, and honoring. And he goes, and we see, if we were to look in, as we look back at, and we're not going to turn there, but as we think about, find my spot in my notes here speaking of this, John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, in the very beginning of this chapter, we saw, in the beginning was the Word, right? In John 1:1, and the Word was with God, and He was with, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. So when we get to this in verse 14, where it tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you see the significance of the Old Testament? They went and they had to go there and to be in the presence. This signified this is where God is, and to come and to be in His presence. And they offered sacrifices and they worshiped Him and they praised Him there at the temple. But now the presence of the Lord is now living and residing within each one who knows Christ as Savior. We now have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We now have the presence of the living God. He has come and dwelt among us. And not only has He come to dwell among us, Jesus, but He has come to dwell within us. And He tells us, we see all through the New Testament, of how the Lord is longing for the church, the body of Christ, to be passionate, to be desiring to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord together, to read the Word together, to pray together, to sing together, to rejoice and to praise Him. The overflow of what God is doing in our lives, but also the encouragement and the support that we need from one another. But the joy of being able to be a part of where God is. Yes, He's within us. He is within us, and He is calling for us as believers to be together, to care for one another, love one another, grow together, all for His glory. Psalm 84, as we see in verse 10, he tells us, "But is one day in your court better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere." My friends, as we think about the presence of the living God living within us, and then the joy of us being able to worship together, we could spend so much time. How many psalms does just about every psalm you turn to, what is it saying? That singing praises, worshiping, honoring the Lord, we lift our voices in praise, we lift our hands in praise, we serve and worship a living God, and we should have the joy of the Lord and a passion for what He has done for us and now is doing through us, and we have the opportunity to proclaim that message to a lost and dying world. The church, the body of Christ in America, better wake up. We better wake up. We've heard the statistics, my friends. Churches closing all over the place. That's not my statistics. That's somebody else. That's what's going on. What's happening? The church, the body of Christ, we better wake up, and we better have a passion for the presence of the Lord in our life, and together as the body of Christ, of praising Him, praying to Him, praying with Him for the needs of this broken world and for our own sin and our own brokenness. But the psalmist was even somewhat, he was envious in a way, but praising the Lord of, hear this simple little swallow, or sparrow, this crazy little swallow that darts all over and wears itself out, finds rest. They find purpose. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. And I hope and pray that as we humble ourselves before the Lord as a body of believers and ask for the Lord to do a work in our lives, that we have a renewed passion and purpose for the things of the Lord. We mustn't mess around, my friends. And I'm saying that for myself as much as anybody. We are living in interesting days. And it doesn't do us any good to say, oh, well, I just don't want to hear about it anymore. And you're right. We don't need to make it the focus anymore. But I'm just telling you, we better get serious about the things of the Lord. And we better care about the things that matter to the Lord, because we're watching that light dim. It doesn't have to. Maybe the Lord's going to bring a revival to this country, and maybe He's going to start with us. Maybe He will start with us, but I pray for my own life, and I pray for us as the body of Christ, that we will fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Oh, Lord, it's a privilege to have you present within me, and it is a joy to gather together with the body of Christ to worship, to praise you. We can't do this alone. We can't do it alone. Try it. You will crumble. God never meant it to be that way. He spent too much of the New Testament saying the body of Christ. It's about the church, the body of Christ. He says, come together, worship together, learn together, praise my name, and get to know the joys of the one who died for us, who has redeemed us, and he has given us a message to proclaim to a world that is so lost. It is so broken. You know, it's never easy. It's never fun to face tragedy of any sort. It's not. It's never easy. But my friends, I believe with all of my heart, as I have experienced in my own life, if we will begin to believe the God that we serve and the God who is and says that he will do and has done what he says he has done and is going to do, that I can rest in him in the worst of moments. I can rest there. I can be like the swallow. I can find rest, and I can find value, great value and worth, humbled before the Lord. Who are we? We're nothing. We're like the sparrow. Yet he has given us. Yet we're a valuable part of his creation. We are the treasure of his creation because we can know him in a personal way. Oh, help us not to squander that. Lord, please help us to treasure this relationship and this worship and this togetherness that you've called us to as a body of believers. And again, I say this as much for me as I say it for you. Amen. Psalm 84. I don't know. Some pretty interesting things that we find there. Passion of the psalmist for being in the presence of the Lord, and I hope that the Lord will stir in us a renewed revival and passion and love for being together and treasuring his work within us. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the hope and the joy that we have in knowing you. Father, I pray that as I think of this quote, this thought that I saw here in looking at this lesson for today, or this thought, we will never feel like worshiping God until we understand something of his greatness. And we cannot help but worship once we do. In other words, there is a direct correlation between our conception of God and our desire for worship. The greater God is in our eyes, the greater will be our desire to worship him. Father, I pray that we will see you for who you are. And we will be overwhelmed with awe and praise because of the mighty God that we serve, whom chooses to redeem us broken people from this broken and messed up world, Lord, that is so on a fast track, Lord, separated from you, broken and lost, and yet you have chose to redeem us and pluck us out as believers in Christ that we might live it with great joy and great peace and great hope. But Lord, help us to be a testimony and a witness to those around us, even this week, that Lord, are found so broken and destitute without hope. Let us be a light in this dark world and help us treasure worshiping you because you are so worthy of our worship. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.